Today's scripture is Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
This morning's Old Testament scripture is from Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you, as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua then said to the Israelites, draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said this, by this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive you out from before the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now, select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, come to rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows from all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap, far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing towards the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. I'm preaching about a forgotten miracle today, one that we don't talk too much about. You all know about Moses parting the Red Sea. That event is told in churches everywhere, and it can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And if you don't like reading, or you don't like listening to stories, you can turn in on the TV and watch Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments from 1956 every year, right around Easter, and you can see the Red Sea parted before you. With a famous event like this, there's a lot of debate about where the Hebrew people crossed, when they crossed the Red Sea, how deep was the water that parted. A 2014 Washington Post article discussed scientists who were Christians who have developed computer models to prove that the miracle, that particular miracle, was possible. Scriptures describe a strong wind blowing up, and they found that if a wind of 63 miles per hour blowing in a particular direction, strong enough to push the water to the side, it could have created a kind of muddy 2.5 mile land bridge from one side of the Red Sea to the other. And so, they're not exactly sure where that spot was, or if the 63 mile an hour wind really happened. Not fun to be out in a 63 mile an hour wind, but hey, they were fleeing to safety. For me, I really don't need a scientific support for a miracle, because miracles are supposed to be extra beyond the laws of any science. There's no reason for me to prove how it happened, how it could have happened. Miracles are about faith. We have an expression, seeing is believing. And miracles are indeed like that. You see them happen and it causes you to believe. Once the people of the Hebrew people had crossed the sea and all of their Egyptian pursuers were neutralized, shall we say, the people realized that an event had happened. And they told the story for generations after generations. This was a miracle. And at some point, they took the time to write it down. And this is the book of Exodus. And people are still talking about it and dramatizing it today. Far less famous is Joshua's miracle, where the flow of an entire river was stopped so that the people could cross. You know, you could say that the parting of the Red Sea led the people of Israel out into the wilderness for 40 years of wandering around. And then, like bookends of miracles, you have the people being led out of the wilderness toward the promised land, crossing the Jordan because of another miracle 40 years later. And as forgotten as this miracle is, it's no small feat in itself. We were at Niagara Falls last week. And of course, you know, you probably know, in 1969, engineers shut off the flow of the falls on the American side so that it was dry. For about 4 months, it was shut off. Now, they didn't really just shut off the water, did they? There wasn't like a great big mountain of water on the sides the way that it's described in this scripture passage. No, they diverted the water. They put a lot of rocks and stuff and created a dam that diverted the water over the Horseshoe side of the falls, which the Horseshoe Falls is much bigger than the American side, and it absorbed all that extra water for some months while they did repairs on the falls to make them erode less. And so they're still flowing today, big and beautiful. But in Joshua chapter 3, there's no big movement of rocks that precedes this event. There's no diversion of water. It's just a bunch of priests stepping in and setting foot in the water that causes it to go to dry land. And it stands in a great big heap so that people can pass. God, who had done great things to remove the Hebrew people from Egyptian slavery, now did great things to move them to what would become their new homeland. Modern readers read the accounts of these two miracles and we scratch our heads and we just ask, did that really happen? And could it happen again? Isn't the age of miracles over, we think? And so at this point, I want to tell you that it's not, and it's because I saw one. And I've told this story before, but you know, just as the Hebrew people retold their story of crossing the Red Sea, and they kept repeating it and repeating it, why, if I've seen a miracle, why wouldn't I share it over and again? And I'll tell you the story. I was a pastor at a church, my first pastorate, in 2004, and there was a woman, Sandy Dunlap. She was on the Christian Ed board. And there was another woman, Sue York, also on the Christian Ed board. And I went to a vacation Bible school planning meeting with them. And so we sat there. It was in another church because we were working together with another church to do our VBS. And after the meeting, everybody left except Sandy. And she came out in the middle of the street. This is a quiet street. Nobody ever drove there. And so we're standing in the middle of the street, and she says to me, I think God wants me to do something. Now, backing up just a little bit, Sue needed a kidney. Sue needed a kidney badly. Sue was going to die if she didn't get her kidney. She was on the transplant list, but she was very low on the priority list because she had a bad heart. She was 65 years old. And so there wasn't really much chance for her to get a kidney. You know, and you know how pastors hate cell phones in church going off all the time, and you all have to silence your phones, and I have to silence mine, and sometimes I forgot. It's very annoying. I told Sue she can leave her cell phone on because she might be getting that call. We've got your kidney. You got to get up here. And so we would let her, let the phone ring loud and clear if that was to come. Sandy says to me, I think God wants me to give Sue my kidney. And I said, how do you know this? And she says, I just get this sense. I get this feeling. Now, also backing up, Sue and Sandy are not related at all. Going back generations, no relationship at all. The only relationship they had is they both served on the Christian Ed Board together. And Sandy was in good health. Anyway, I said, well, you know, I'm thinking, how should I respond to this? And to be honest, just between you and me, I kind of thought she was a little crazy. God is telling me I've got her kidney. And I said, well, I guess you need to check this out. If you get an inkling to do anything that seems supernatural, you should check it out and see if it's reality. So I said, if your blood types are compatible? And she says, I don't even know what my blood type is. Okay, so I thought, well, why don't you do that first? Find out if your blood types are compatible. And so she did, and they were. And then she had the temerity to go up to Sue and say, I think I might have your kidney. I think God might be telling me that I have your kidney, and I want you to explore this with me. And Sue, of course, was anxious for a donor. And she said, of course. And so they went through every test. And in every test, they were found to be compatible. And then in October, 6 months after that meeting out in the middle of the street, the transplant happened. Sue had means, paid for the whole thing. And Sue was given a successful kidney that she carried with her the rest of her life. She had a bad heart, though. She lived another 8 years with that kidney. And I witnessed this miracle happen. And it all starts with something that I just thought was crazy. But that's what miracles are. It's not supposed to make sense. So is the age of miracles over? You can't convince me that it is. I saw one. And as I watched the people of Israel go through 40 years waiting for their big miracles, you know, maybe if it's been 19 years for me, you know, I might have to wait another 19 years for another one. I don't know how frequently they come. It's all up to God. But if God can give Sue a kidney, then maybe there's something that God can do that's miraculous now. Is the age of miracles over? I don't believe it is. Can God part the Red Sea? I believe yes. Can God part the Jordan River just because of the feet of a priest? I believe that God can. Can God stop the war? That's what's on our hearts and minds right now. Yeah. I believe he can. In fact, if you look at Scripture, this is a cool thing. You know, everybody knows something about the Battle of Armageddon. And it's filled with there's all this literature out there to scare you, you know. Does the Battle of Armageddon end when somebody wins? Does one side defeat the other? No. In the book of Revelation, the war ends when God ends it, period. This is not a display of one person's might, one nation's might over another, or one group of nations' might over another group of nations. That war ends when God ends it. It is another one of God's miracles. And I'm saying that to you now because of that being this this climactic battle that you all have heard about. By saying that, I don't in any way imply that what's going on right now in the Israel-Hamas war is Armageddon. I don't know that. I don't think that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if God can even end Armageddon with one word, by just saying stop, apparently, then God can end this war as well. That's not to say that people won't be involved. The miracle I witnessed involved two people willing to work together. A lot of times wars end because there are peacemakers, and that's why Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, because they do the work of God when they engage in peace. But I really do believe in the age of miracles. I don't believe that it's over because I witnessed one. Maybe we'll get to see one again. The way God used people to stop the Red Sea and to stop the Jordan River. God can use people to stop the war. Either way, once the sea has been crossed, once the river has been walked across, once the kidney has been accepted by the recipient's body, once the firing has ceased, there's a sense of ease and a sense of the miraculous power of God. And when God does something like that, we must never let that miracle be forgotten.